It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 272. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, it's all about the NIT. How do we think the Cougars will do against UT Arlington? And does success in the NIT mean anything for next season? Also on the show, Eric Mika is the third best big man in the country, and the men's volleyball team is pretty awesome. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, a weekly BYU sports conversation between me and my brother Matt. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. This is the Rise and Shout Podcast, and we're going to talk about the NIT right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, the Patriots are reloading.
Yes, they are.
I know no one wants to talk about this because we may be the only two Patriots fans involved with this podcast, either as the hosts or listeners. But here's the flip side. We're the hosts, so we can talk about it.
Well, you know, their roster may be in better shape than it was when they won the Super Bowl.
Well, for sure. I'm not sure about tight end because at this point, Gronkowski is a question mark. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett is gone. They got that new guy. We'll see if he's good. But I think they know what they're doing, Matt. So
what?
I think they know what they're doing, the Patriots.
Yeah, they've got to figure it out.
I think they may know what they're doing. So they, you know, they've got, anyway, Dante Hightower, they lost him to the Jets, but I'm not losing any sleep over it.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. You don't seem broken up about it either.
No, we'll get over that one.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for the Patriots signing people. We'll see if that ends up working out for them this year. Matt, is it easier to root for an NFL team than a college team?
I think it depends. I mean, it's all about passion, right?
Right.
I think it depends on kind of it's how your fandom developed. But I think that NFL teams can turn it around easier and become competitive faster in some ways than a college team. It seems like it's always the same college teams, right?
Yeah.
But at least over the past, if you look over the past 10, 15 years, other than the Patriots, of course, you know, so maybe you need to go back a little bit further than that. You know, you get a wider variety of teams that are at least in the hunt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at when we were kids, look at the teams that were jokes when we were kids. The Patriots, for one.
Yep.
The Saints.
Remember that.
Cardinals, though they were also a joke for most of our adulthood. The Colts, for sure. You know, and
the Browns.
The Browns. Oh, boy, yeah. Actually, they were better when we were kids.
The Browns are so awful.
The Browns
are so terrible.
They are terrible.
It's funny because they're bad.
Unless you're a Cleveland fan. But you can't feel too bad for Cleveland fans. The Cavs won a title. The Indians made it to the World Series and are probably the best team in the American League going into the year. So, I mean, Cleveland's looking up. Just don't pay attention to the Browns. Nothing to see here.
Nope. Nothing at all.
What happened to the Johnny Football guy?
It didn't really work out for him.
Huh. If only people could have seen that coming.
If only there was a way to know that he was going to be a dumpster fire as an adult.
Mm. Gosh, you know, sometimes people, things just creep up on you. You don't know what it's going to be.
Out of nowhere.
So, Matt, a couple of things before we get started here. Number one, thank you to several of the listeners who helped fund the Sycorax series, my science fiction books that will be coming out probably around May 1st. Is when the first of the three ebooks will come out. And listener Jed Higginson, Matt, was the one that donated at the end to push us over the hump and got it funded.
on Kickstarter.
He pushed it over the hump, did he?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. He was the last one. I was about to start before he got us over. I was about to start like texting everybody that I knew saying, "Hey, it's going. Do $4, please." Because on Kickstarter, if you don't hit the amount, you don't get anything.
Right.
So, I wanted to hit that, so we did. So anyway, thanks for those that participated. And again, I wanted to remind everybody, we are now partnering with the Deseret News, so you can find every week, you'll find the podcast as a story on the Deseret News. So if you found us via that, welcome to the show. I'm Adam, that's Matt, we're brothers, we talk about BYU sports. I live in Minnesota, he lives in Louisiana, he's bald and I'm not. There we go. That's all you need to know, right, Matt?
That's basically us in a nutshell, at least all the important statistics.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, how about this? I'll throw you a bone. You run marathons, and I run upstairs for Dr. Pepper.
Clarification, I run half marathons.
I'm sorry, half marathons.
So I'm not that good.
But I do run upstairs for Dr. Pepper, except when I send one of the kids. So I guess I run half of stairs.
Yes, something like that.
See what I did there? It was a terrible joke. So let's go on and go ahead, Matt, and do the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, number 3 men's volleyball swept number 9 Pepperdine on the road this weekend behind Jake Langlois. They host number 4 Hawaii this weekend. Hawaii is 20-2 and 10-2 in the MPSF. Of course, BYU is 17-2 and 11-1. Langlois has 221 kills. The season's not over yet. He's good.
Yeah, he's all right, I guess, you know. If you're into winning volleyball matches.
That's right. Percent chance you see any of this weekend? Not high for me with March Madness going.
Yeah, it's tough with March Madness.
Because if the March Madness games aren't interesting, I may have to pay attention to my family.
It'd probably be a good idea. There's a lot of them.
So, Matt, I'm totally going off form here. Have you watched any of the WBC? The World Baseball Classic?
I've actually not.
You should. Surprisingly enough. It's awesome. It's really good. There's been some really good... There was an extra inning game on the 11th inning and later, you start with 2 runners on base.
That's just weird.
Well, it's to speed up the games so they don't go forever.
Yeah, I understand why they're doing it, but...
It is a little weird. But anyway, it's fun. But the United States, of course, is in the final 8, so go Team USA. I don't know why that came up as we're talking BYU men's volleyball. But I've enjoyed... Yeah, well, I've enjoyed watching.
We should be doing well, seeing that we invented the sport.
That's true, but we've yet to win the WBC. It's been Japan twice and the Dominican Republic. La República Dominicana.
Hey, I did see a highlight with Big Poppy in the dugout with the team from DR, though.
Yeah. He's
pretty cool.
Unfortunately,
seems to be enjoying himself.
Yes. I follow him on several social media channels. He seems to be okay in retirement.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people thought he'd come back because Red Sox didn't win the World Series. But you can't. Like, we saw him in Baltimore when we were there for the West Virginia game. You can't come back after everyone's done all the goodbyes for you.
No, you did the farewell tour. Like, you need to know you're done when you do that. You need to know.
You have to be 100% sure if you're going to, like... take plaques and stuff. Matt, let's go to the Cougars in the Pros segment with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Boo! Sit down, get up!
The Cleveland Browns select mediocrity. Speaking of the NFL, Daniel Sorensen, Matt, signed an extension with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, he did. Crushed it.
4 years, $16 million, $8 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
And with about $2 million incentives, in theory, he could earn as much as $18.4 million. They pointed out in the Kansas City Star just how well he played last season. 63 tackles, 6 pass deflections, three interceptions, two forced fumbles, and he played 81% of special teams plays and about 50% of that. I assume going forward we may see more. He's not going to be an every down guy, but I think we'll end up seeing more based on them deciding to keep him around. He's having a nice little NFL career.
It seems to be working out for him. $8 million guaranteed is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I would take that to play a little football. No one would give it to me.
Nope.
No one would give it to me.
No, they wouldn't.
So, Matt, before we go on to the NIT, I have another advertisement about me.
And oh, look at that.
Did I just rhyme? Was that like a Dr. Seuss deal right there?
It was a little weird.
Do you still read Dr. Seuss to your kids? Are you guys a Dr. Seuss house?
I've got a couple little kids that are definitely in a Dr. Seuss range.
Mm-hmm. They like Green Eggs and Ham?
They do, Sam I Am.
Yes, yes.
They will eat them in a box.
They will eat them with a fox. They will
eat them on the rocks, and if they are in their socks.
That's not part of the book. You just made that up.
They also enjoy them with bagels and lox.
And
sometimes they take them on very long walks.
Okay, you can stop now before you hurt yourself.
The 1996 BYU football team had an offensive lineman named Matt Cox.
Well played, sir. What year did you say?
1996. I'm not sure he was a senior that year, though.
No, he was not a senior that year.
But he was on that line. He started.
Yeah, Matt Cox. Yeah, he played briefly for the New England Patriots. And
yes, he did.
He and I... He grew up in our stake in Massachusetts, the Foxborough stake.
He was a big boy. It's actually the Hingham stake, but that's fine.
Hingham, whatever.
Your roots. That's cool.
The stake center was in Foxborough. They just didn't want it to be associated with gambling. Right? Isn't that the story?
I don't know what the deal was with that.
Yeah, I think that was made up. I don't think that was actually true. But there were racetracks in Foxborough, right? Like dog racing?
I wouldn't know about that.
Okay. Okay. All right. We don't have to bring up your gambling on dogs. Well, that's not a big deal.
No, that's all good.
It's all good. So I have another podcast that's going to be part of the Deseret News podcast network. It's called Bleep. The first episode is actually technically live, and I will tweet it out. It's not on iTunes yet. Sometimes iTunes is a little slow. But our first episode was me and two guests doing a Pixar movie draft. It was a lot of fun. We each picked three movies. It's like an hour long, which sounds long, but if you do it at like 3x speed, I sound like a chipmunk, and it goes by in like half an hour. No. less than half an hour.
Can we do the thing again where we play us at like 0.5 speed? Because that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. We sound like Donald Trump.
It is so funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. It is pretty funny. So anyway, check that out. You can go to Bleep Podcast. What are you doing?
Every time you say bleep, I giggle.
Well, I'm glad you like the title. It's
bleeping awesome.
It is bleeping awesome. It's the best bleeping podcast I'm a part of.
Is that
awkward.
Whoa, that's a little weird.
Bleepthepodcast.podbean.com. You'll also soon, not yet, catch it at deseretnews.com/podcasts, where you can also see the Rise and Shout podcast, Matt. So anyway, moving on to talking about me, let's talk about me and my thoughts on the NIT matchup. So Matt, UT Arlington, you used to live in Texas. Did you know anything about UT Arlington?
I knew they existed.
Mascot.
It's a horse.
It's a horse? That's all you got.
Mustangs? The Pacers?
The Pacers?
The Stallions?
Is a Pacer a horse?
It can be.
The Pacers? Mavericks. UT Arlington Mavericks.
Wow, I'm surprised they got away with that.
Yeah. Well, you can't trademark a term like Maverick.
I guess.
But wait a second. Arlington...
Not even in the same TV market?
Boy, yikes. That's... I wonder if they had it... I wonder if they had it first. Not likely. How many UT campuses are there? Like 80?
It's a large state, Adam. There's a lot of kids that need to go to college.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's hard to keep track. All right, that's all I'm saying. All right, so
Did you know there's a Texas A&M Corpus Christi?
I did not know there were any other campuses of Texas A&M, just College Station. Yeah.
Texas A&M Corpus Christi just lost in their conference finals, their tournament, to the University of New Orleans.
What
University of New Orleans, is it Southland Conference?
What division is that?
It's Division I. University of New Orleans is in the big dance, baby.
It's too hard.
They're
sometimes.
Going to the big dance. They were picked to finish ninth in the conference, and they beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi to get the auto bid.
Are they in one of those play-in games?
I'd have to look and see. Yeah, I think they ended up in a play-in game.
Mm.
But they're closer than some teams that you and I know and love.
Not sure what you're talking about.
I think I'll let us get back to the topic you began to introduce.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing, actually. Matt, the NIT sucks. Can I just say that? Can I say that on this podcast? That word?
I think you can. It didn't bleep it out.
Yeah, it didn't bleep it out. I just want to be in the. I just want to be in the NCAA tournament, right? Like
everybody does.
It's not like we'll get to this in a minute, but like there's not a lot of silver linings here with the NIT.
Nope.
I'll watch. I'm a fan, and I want to see how this team does against the NIT. In a lot of cases, has better teams in it than the bottom feeders that make it into the tournament, right? Like a University of New Orleans, for example, right? They are a 16th seed. They have to play Mount St. Mary's for the opportunity to get the crap kicked out of them by Villanova.
Oh, that should be fun.
Oh, my gosh. Either of those teams is going to get absolutely destroyed.
Smoked.
Absolutely destroyed. Matt, we'll get back to the bracket here in a second to talk about Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But let's talk about UT Arlington, the Mavericks. They're 25-8 regular season champions of the Sun Belt Conference, which actually is not a terrible basketball conference. It's 14th in the nation, four spots below West Coast Conference. So decent mid-major conference. The Mavericks' best win was against Texas on the road. Not a terrible win, though Texas wasn't a great team this year. Did Texas make the tourney? They made the tourney, right? Where's Texas? I haven't done my bracket yet. Have you filled out a bracket yet?
I just sat down to do it right before we started recording tonight, so I have not been able to finish that.
Texas didn't make the tournament, did they?
No, they didn't.
Wow. So anyway, their best win came against a team that didn't make the tournament. Their worst losses, and they may have lost to a worse team, but they lost to Texas State twice. Once in the regular season and once in the conference tournament. I think it was the semis that they lost to Texas State. Texas State, according to the Massey ratings, was the 168th best team. Not that BYU doesn't have some terrible losses on their resume, but just something to keep in mind there. Massey ratings has UT Arlington is the 68th best team in the country. BYU is 64th. So this is, Matt, a pretty even matchup. This is not, and we'll get to this in prediction time, but this is not some given slam dunk NIT first round game.
Oh, no, it's not.
I mean,
this is a real matchup.
They didn't have a good schedule, but they won 25 games and were 14-4 in a decent mid major conference. So there's that. They're a pretty balanced team. According to sportsreference.com, they have the 73rd best offense in the country and the 62nd best defense. So they're going to bring it on both ends of the floor, which is which is good for entertainment value, not as maybe as good for us as BYU fans. For reference, BYU's offensive rating is 125th in the country, defense 55th. Matt, we are not a good offensive team, especially away from the Marriott Center. Luckily, this game is in the Marriott Center.
Phew.
So that's a big deal. Players to watch for UT Arlington, their best player is 6'7 junior forward Kevin Hervey. He averages 17, 9, and 2. Shoots some threes, mainly a guy in the post and in the key. Jorge Bilbao is also one of their better players, 6'8", senior forward, averages 9 points and 7 rebounds a game, high percentage shooter. And then Jalen Jones is the guard, 6'3", 200-pound guard, who's a sophomore, averages 12 points and 4 boards a game. Again, decent three-point shooter, 36%, and all three of those guys play pretty decent defense. So this is gonna be a tougher matchup than I think than folks would know by the name, right? I mean, you hear UT Arlington, you wonder, you know, is that a real school? If you're not in Texas, and I'm sorry, some of us don't care as much about Texas because we, you know, never lived there. But just saying, this is a real matchup, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a cakewalk. You know, and part of that is that, you know, BYU isn't a team that even looks on paper dominant compared to the other teams that are in this tournament.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So none of these games will be easy. Even, you look at this and you think, okay, well, if they get past UT Arlington, you know, what does it look like after that? I don't know that you can't sit down on Houston or Akron either.
No, you certainly can't, and we'll get to them in a minute. But you're right. I mean, at the bracket where they're at with the NIT, this is not they're gonna walk through this bracket. Now, I don't think it's crazy to think they could have a run, but honestly, I think they lose the second game. But we'll get to that in a second on predictions. Matt, BYU is favored by 5 in this game. I'm gonna take the Cougars by 6, and I almost did 4, but I think it's that close, and I think it's a game the entire time.
I'm going to take the Cougars by 8. I think they pull away right at the end with some free throw shooting, but I'm going to take them by 8.
So next up would be either Houston or Akron. You mentioned both of those schools. Houston was 23-10. Akron was 26-8, though they played a terrible schedule. Massey Ratings has Houston as the 53rd best team in the country, one of the best teams not to make the tournament, and Akron was the 83rd best team in the country. Like you said, neither of them will be walkovers. Houston, of course, I believe, my understanding would be that game is in Texas, though not at their stadium, because I guess it's undergoing renovations. If Akron wins, my guess is the game would be in Provo, so BYU would host 2 games. So there's that.
Yeah, it's just if they play it in Houston, I think it's just at some other arena in Houston.
Yeah. So anyway, it's what it is. You know, if we don't sound excited, that's because we're not.
I mean, the extra practices, and I'll get to watch another game.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean,
it'll be on ESPN2.
Yeah, let's not pull on LSU and say we're not going to participate, right?
Right, that's because that's dumb.
But when you've got nearly 70 teams participating in a tournament and you're not one of them, that's not good, right?
But you know what I've been fascinated by is, do you know how many tournaments there are now?
Yeah, there have been.
These tournaments have kind of all existed, I guess. But it's like everybody ends up in a tournament.
If you want to. A lot of people will turn down. What's that next? What's the next one down from the NIT?
Is it CBI?
Something like that. People will turn that one down. Because at some point, the question becomes whether it's cost-effective to do it. Right?
Right.
You know, I wouldn't turn down the NIT ever. I don't know about those other ones, whether I'd turn them down. I know people were worried that BYU wasn't going to make even the NIT. Even without that win against Gonzaga, that probably helped their NIT seeding. But they still, it probably ensured they had a home game. But they were going to be in the NIT. BYU's a
draw.
Yeah,
if you look at it, they got a 3 seed. They were
going to be in there. They might have been a 6 seed instead. So, anyway, we will definitely be watching. Matt, NIT predictions. Do you believe that BYU can go past the second round this year?
I think they can. I think they could beat Houston. I think it's the next round is where they get into trouble.
California.
California is becomes the stumbling block.
Let's see. What does the Massey rating say about California? I saw them once or twice. 54th. They're actually the same rating as Houston. I don't know enough about their team to know matchup problems, though. The one thing that worries me about this whole thing is Mika can have monster games, and sometimes it's just not enough.
Right.
Right, so I looked at UT Arlington. I'm like, well, I don't think they're going to match up well with Mika. And a few teams do, right? He's one of the best big men in the country. But it doesn't seem to really matter, right? Because, you know, it's not sufficient for us to win because some other guys are going to have to score. He's not going to score any points on his own. That would be a lot.
Yeah, that would be a lot of points.
Yeah, that would be a lot of points for sure. So anyway, I actually think they get beaten the second round by Houston.
Jeez, why do you hate the Cougars?
I just think he's just a better team, and it'll be not in Provo. Now I get it; they beat Gonzaga and Gonzaga, but
in Gonzaga, like it's a place.
It is a place. It's a university.
Okay.
It's a place. You know, I was, until they lost the 31 points, I thought this team could do something in a postseason. Now I kind of feel like they're out of gas.
So let's go back to the conversation we had after the Gonzaga win. You felt like they'd kind of turned a corner.
I thought they had.
I was a little less optimistic.
You were less optimistic.
Have you stepped back off of that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that was a one-night thing. I mean, they came back and got beat by St. Mary's by 31 points.
Yeah, that's just painful.
It was one of the worst losses in Dave Rose's tenure as a coach. I mean,
it was bad.
I don't know how you argue around it. Now, I've heard people talk about like Dave Rose apologists or whatever else on Twitter, and I'll defend Rose, and there's absolutely no reason anybody should be talking about his job security. It's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Not as ridiculous as the Gonzaga fan I interacted with who thought Mark Few should be fired. Didn't they make the Elite Eight last year?
This is insane.
Was that last year? I have to go back and look.
I don't remember if that was last year.
They just had a one-loss season. They've won the regular season and the WCC regular season and tournament. And I get what people say, well, the WCC is not great. Winning the regular season and then the conference tournament is not really that common, even in mid-majors, right? Ask Monmouth, right? Ask Belmont. Now I get it. They're not as good as Gonzaga. Those teams aren't. But Gonzaga has had years where they were Monmouth or Belmont and still won their conference tournament, right?
Yep.
Few is one of the best coaches
in the
country. Dayton. Yeah. Yeah, Oakland.
Well, and then forget that. Look at the Big Ten. Look at the Big Ten regular season, I mean, to win both of those things is actually
Kansas.
It's pretty difficult, I think, in any conference.
Yeah. So when I hear people say that now, to get back to Rose, I'm not an apologist. I think he had some issues as a coach this year, right? I think they need to bring in some new coaching, some new assistants, bring in some fresh thought processes. I also think that the team has, over the last several years, maybe since all the way back to the Jimmer years, has fallen in love with the three-point shot. And when you've got your two best players are big men, we do not need to fall in love with the three-point shot, right? Not that you don't take them, but I felt like that with the first tournament game before St. Mary's, that they fell in love with that three-pointer and almost got burnt by it.
Yep.
Your two best players are post guys. If Yoli Childs and Mika on Wednesday night aren't touching the ball on 75% of offensive possessions when they're in, that's a mistake. Coaching and players, right?
Yep.
They got to touch the ball. Now, that'll open up perimeter shots. And I, you can't run every play through them. You've got a few other guys that can then create their own shots. But anyway, so let's get on to a few other questions, Matt. We haven't had any TweetBag questions. Now it's time for some TweetBag questions.
TweetBag.
If you would like to reach out to us, you can reach us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, at Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or you can send us an old-fashioned email at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Our first one comes via Twitter at BYU Dog. Okay? So, at BYU Dog. He says, 13 days since your last podcast? You're killing me, Smalls. I thought you were weekly. Matt, I want to bring something up here. Okay? Can I bring something up?
Can I stop you?
You can try, but I also edit the podcast, so there's not much.
All right, so let's roll. Let's go with it.
There's not much you can do. So, we are a weekly podcast, okay? We are a weekly podcast, all right? In 2016, we had 48 podcasts in 52 weeks. I assume we will be somewhat close to that here in 2017. We are on pace. We do take an occasional, usually once a quarter, off. We will take off. So I'm sorry, BYU Dog, but my anger with you was completely deflated by the movie reference that he had in there. So,
well, I'm loving the enthusiasm from BYU Dog.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
But the enthusiasm.
If you bring Sandlot into a conversation, that's hashtag winning.
It's pretty good.
So Matt, he asks, what is the percent chance we meet the Utes in the NIT, and Hector Lives, that's at Naleto on Twitter, hashtag hot take, he says, does the NIT expect a BYU-Utah matchup in Madison Square Garden? So a lot of people were saying they were going to match up, like, in the second round, BYU and Utah. And then they put them on the other side of the bracket. So Hector's saying, hey, wouldn't that be pretty cool? Matt, percent chance that the NIT championship is BYU in Utah?
I'm going to go with zero.
Well, it's absolutely 0% because Voldemort won't play the game.
Well, yes, strictly speaking, from a statistical standpoint, it's something greater than zero, right? But
no, it's zero.
But really,
because he's not going to play it. I mean, he fears for the safety of the children.
Do you think they called the NIT?
No.
But and come
also,
on,
I don't the think NIT the NIT
doesn't even put them on the same side of the bracket.
I know. It is kind of weird, right?
It's because fishy.
You it's would fishy. Think they would at least put them with a chance to do it in the four. But they're
if you're the NIT, you don't want that matchup if you're the NIT?
Of course you do. It's ratings gold. I mean,
this is
not only a rivalry, but the national media, they could get the national media interested in your NIT game, which is pretty rare, right? With March Madness going on, but with Voldemort, or he who shall not be named on this podcast, it, basically paying $80,000 because he's a wuss and didn't want to play Nick Emery ever again. I don't know. I think there's, like you said, there's not a very good chance. I mean, Utah has to beat Illinois State and Illinois, and Iowa or Clemson or whoever comes out of that side of the bracket. And of course, BYU, we both said we don't think they're going to make even the Final Four. So chances aren't good. Chances are not good that they'll make it there. But that's all right. So Matt, at VanquishTheFoe.com, they had an interesting article about the NIT. Now, you and I have been fairly negative about the NIT, but he basically said that this is Keith Schertz on Vanquish the Foe. His argument is basically there is no good for the future that comes out of this, and we'll get into his reasoning here, Matt, but let's take that premise, agree or disagree, this NIT tournament has nothing to do, nor any good or bad, to do with the future.
I don't know. I still feel like a little bit of extra practice time is good.
Yes. He is wrong. He's wrong in that I don't think them having a good NIT doesn't mean that they'll be awesome next year. I'm not making that argument because except for this, it's almost the exact same team next year, right? And he points out that the past three NIT champions, none of them have even made the NCAA tournament the next year. The problem with the way he's analyzing this is you have to look at the teams, right? And did they bring a lot of people back or not? And in this case, you're talking about a team that's basically an all sophomore and freshman team. I don't think he references the NIT teams of the last, for BYU, the last several, decades. And, they are not necessarily going to the NCAA tournament often the next year. But looking at those teams, Matt, this isn't just I don't know that it's really relevant, his argument. I just think in the end it's good practice time. This does not guarantee anything, but I think it's good for these guys to play together, especially for Elijah Bryant, who had a truncated season because of injury. But it is an exhibition, right? I mean, it's not the real tournament, but it's worth it. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, but like you said, and I think this is part of his point, is that, a dominant performance in the NIT is not necessarily a sign of things to come.
No.
But on the flip side of that, getting bounced out of the NIT in the first round also is equally meaningless.
Yes. If they get beat by UT Arlington on Wednesday night, I am not going to be pulling my hair out and thinking next year. My opinion about their chances of competing next year will not change based on this, but I do think it's good for them as a team to get more practice time together, and I think it's likely beneficial to next year, especially because pretty much the entire team is coming back. So,
and I think if you can put together a couple of wins, I see that as that's beneficial.
Yeah, I think so. So Matt, the NIT is experimenting with some rules, as they often do. So here are the rules. I want you to say yay or nay. Meaning,
all right, let's do it.
If you would like these rules to become part of college basketball going forward, okay?
Yep.
4 10-minute segments instead of 2 20-minute halves.
Yay!
Really? No.
Oh, I love it. Love quarters. Stupid. Give me quarters.
They're not quarters. They're 10-minute segments. They were very clear. These aren't quarters.
Yeah, they're quarters. Segments. Guess what? You divide something into four pieces, it's quarters.
Yeah, well, I'm just. Don't shoot the messenger.
And they have a longer break between the second segment and the third segment, which is called halftime.
All right.
Segments.
I say nay.
I say yay only if they will call it quarters. If they're going to keep calling it segments, I say nay.
Okay, fair enough.
It's lame.
So this next rule assumes that you're going to the quarters, okay? Team fouls reset at the end of each quarter or segment. If the NCAA were to adopt quarters, I am all for team fouls resetting at the end of each quarter. You?
I am, except for the end of game foul fests. This is only going to make those worse.
No, because you only have that many before you get in the bonus. You make the bonus less.
Yeah, but teams will foul their way into the bonus at the end of the game. They'll be like, oh, we got a foul to give because they won't even get shots here.
Yeah, that's it could. You're right. Depending on the flow of the game, it could do that.
But then you'll have people fouling out.
Yes. So there's the double-edged sword there. Matt, right. Should there be overtime, teams will have three personal fouls before the two-shot bonus takes effect. So bonus does not automatically start at the carry-through overtime. I'm totally for this.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
I love that one. The last one is a 20-second shot clock is instituted whenever the ball is inbounded in the front court. Yay or nay?
Yay.
I'm also for that one. I'd be fine with that change. Matt, is there a rule they're not experimenting with that they should?
They should do one of those, like, rock and jock jam 25-point shot circles. You put that out where, like, Jimmer throws it from. And if you're standing inside that circle, you get 25 points.
You know, I saw somebody do this with a Stephen Curry shot chart, and if you did some of those circles, like, the guy would be averaging like 60 points a game. And you know what would happen is they would guard, if those were like 25 points, you would have someone just guard that spot. Oh, right?
If it were Steph Curry, you'd punch him in the face to keep him out of it.
So let me ask you a question. If you get fouled in the 25 point thing, is it 25 free throws?
That's fantastic.
Can you imagine what could be more boring than sitting and watching a guy shoot 25 free throws? Fantastic. Okay, mine is a more serious suggestion. Oh boy, his own joke's gonna kill him, and it wasn't even that funny. Oh, he's hit the mute button because he's in a coughing fit. All right, so here's my rule.
Excuse myself there. I apologize.
Longtime listeners of the podcast will recognize this and probably roll their eyes. But here it is. You ready for my rule change? No fouling out.
Yes.
On the sixth foul, it's an automatic and beyond. It's an automatic technical, meaning not a technical like a technical gets you thrown out, but the team gets two shots and the ball. So there's still a massive penalty for your sixth foul and beyond, but you get to stay in the game. Yay or nay on my rule change?
I like the not fouling out. I wouldn't make the penalty so bad.
I'd give him the shots.
I'd give him the shots, but not the ball.
So it's automatically, yeah, but that would be true anyway, because you'd probably be in the double bonus.
Yep.
So you're basically saying no penalty at all. You can just keep fouling.
Right. Okay. But I don't understand why they foul out. What is the purpose of fouling out?
It's because 100 years ago, the game wasn't physical. That's why. It'd be like the NFL still not allowing the forward pass. I mean, seriously, it's really that dumb to me. It's like, why would we ever, and we've seen this in the WCC happen a lot in good games, where suddenly the best two players are on the bench after two quick crap calls in the first half. You know what I mean? Oh, look, Mika's sitting down and he didn't touch anybody. You know what I mean? It's dumb. Anyway. All right. Yeah. So, Matt, we missed this one. I can't remember when it was, about a week ago or so. The five finalists were picked for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award, going to the best big man. Eric Mika was not one of them, Matt. So the five finalists were Angel Delgado from Seton Hall, Prismic Karnowski of Gonzaga, Tim Kempton of Lehigh, Jock Landale of St. Mary's, and Ethan Happ of Wisconsin. Matt, only two of those individuals belong above Eric Mika on that list.
It's crazy to me that two out of those five are in the WCC.
Well, that's one of the reasons when I expressed my angst over this, people said, well, I couldn't put three people in from the WCC. Why not? If the three of the five best big men are just happen to be in the same conference, who cares? It's not like with five you're getting every conference anyway. Right? Like, but here's the other thing. Karnowski is not better than Mika.
Yeah.
In every statistical category, Mika outdid him except for assists. Mika. And Delgado was on, Seton Hall and was a very good player. Kempton was a very good player. The only two players that I think belong above Mika on that list are Landale and Happ. And I've told you, I picked Landale as the WCC MVP.
Yeah, but Karnowski gets on that list because Gonzaga is regarded so highly as a team.
He's the third best player on his team.
But he's the big man.
And he's got a terrible beard. And did you watch when we played them, his walking across the court with and asking, getting the questions asked? Or was it when we were playing them, they were playing somebody else? Did you see that? With Billis was walking across the...
Oh, the, like, them? Whatever they call that, 90 feet? How long is the distance?
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, I played basketball. I did, actually. But Karnowski said he hated American food.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. was fantastic. I actually like Tarnowski. So if anybody gets the impression I don't like the guy, I do. And I think he's an excellent player. But he's not better than Eric Mika.
You know, he played high school ball with a couple of, you know, a couple of guys that are in the NBA now. And he's probably, well, and I think one of them is in the NBA. And another guy is playing, I don't remember where the other guy plays. They were talking about this on ESPN Radio this morning. And he's like the best out of the three. I mean, he may play at the next level.
Who, Karnowski? He'll get a shot. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got size. I think his, as he's shown when he tries to guard Mika straight up, his feet are not great. He does not move his feet defensively. He's going to have trouble at the NBA with certain kinds of big guys, which unfortunately most big guys in the NBA are pretty darn quick. In the modern NBA. So, but yeah, I think he'll get a shot. You know, and as I said, Landale and Happ, those are the two best big men in the country. I have very little hesitation there, but I think Meek is third.
Happ probably wins this thing.
Happ could win it. Landale could win. I have no problem with either of those guys winning it. I think they're both excellent guys and they both are more deserving than Mika this season. But to put Karnowski, Delgado, and Kempton above Mika is a little silly to me, to be honest. It makes me wonder who nominated these fellows.
Well, it's kind of like if you could only take two guys from WCC, why wasn't Mika one of the two?
Yeah, why not? Nigel Goss and some of these other guys, they're going to win awards and be finalists. I mean, Karnowski's a great player and a big part of why they're an awesome team, but that doesn't mean he's better than Mika, right? I mean, if they could trade... If few could trade Karnowski straight up for Mika for the tournament, what do you think he'd do?
Oh, he'd take him.
Oh, he'd make that trade in a heartbeat. We're not making that trade, Mark Few. We're not making it.
So don't even ask.
Don't even ask, Mark Few. You should be fired for, like, losing a game this year.
We're putting together one of the best teams in Gonzaga history. Yeah. That's insane. Fans are crazy.
Fans are... I mean, I already saw... A Cub fan that I know tweet out, if we don't win the World Series this year, this is a massive failure.
It's insane.
I just don't understand people. And BYU,
these people haven't tried enough hard things in their life. You know what I mean?
And BYU fans, there's a ton. I get being frustrated with Rose. I get being frustrated with Bronco in the day. You're not going to win every game as BYU. We're not Alabama or Kentucky or... You know, Duke, because if we were Duke, everyone would hate us. And just most people hate us. Do you hate Duke?
I hate Grayson Allen.
Oh, gosh. You know, I actually like
Duke. So I kind of hate Duke.
And I've liked a lot of Duke players. Grant Hill, I'm a massive Grant Hill fan, right?
Christian Laettner, you loved Christian Laettner.
I loved Christian Laettner. Wachowski, there's a lot of Duke players I've liked. I really respect Coach K. I get that he's a little bit of a whiner, but he's one of the best college coaches ever. I don't like Grayson Allen. The tripping thing.
He seems like a total head case to me. I think he's.
I don't think I'd like to play with him or.
This is a 30-30 waiting, 30-for-30 waiting to happen.
Yeah.
That's so what this is.
We'll catch that in a couple of years. Matt, before we get off basketball, Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter, asks our final tweetback question of the game. He says, so Jemmer, nah, just kidding. And we're not talking about Jemmer today. Reading lots of Nick Emery bashing, any thoughts on Nick? Everyone better with KC, but it has been a big drop. Matt, it has been a massive drop.
Well, do you know what I think has really impacted him? And you referenced it earlier, and nobody has talked about this, surprisingly enough.
What's that?
But I think this has been the difference. They took away the opportunity. They took away. It's like you know with Samson. If you cut his hair, like he loses his strength. We took away a chance for Nick Emery to punch any Utah players in the head, and he just hasn't been the same since. I mean, he hasn't been the same since.
Okay, so.
I don't know. That's my real theory. How's that? How do you like that? That's my real theory, Gary Payne. Okay. Those are my thoughts.
So last year, okay, let's go over some stats for Nick Emery, okay? Last year, he averaged 16 points a game as a freshman. Okay, one of the best freshman years in BYU history. 16 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.4 steals, shot 38% from the three-point line, 85% from the free throw line. Okay, there's a reason everybody thought he was going to have a monster year and lead the team in points this year, which he did not, clearly. Nobody realized Meek would be quite as good as he was. I didn't. I'll cop to that. But even if you had told me Mika's going to get 20 and 10 and be one of the best big men in the country, I would have said, well, I bet you he's still up around 16 points a game, right? Or 15.
Right.
Everything but steals is down from last year. Shooting, free throws, though I'm not that worried about that. He's an 83% free throw shooter. Everything is down. Turnovers have been a massive problem for him. And he wasn't the only one. Haas had turnover problems as well, but Haas was a freshman, and Emery came in with that. The biggest problem this year, he stunk in the conference. He was terrible in conference play this year. And that's disconcerting. I mean, last year, Matt, he was the eighth best player in the WCC, according to win shares per 40 minutes. And people were saying he got it was a snub for him to not be on the all WCC team. No, it wasn't. He didn't play. He didn't deserve to be on that team.
Yeah, not this year.
So I look at that and I'm like, and he was sixth in the league last year in effective field goal percentage, was eighth in turnover percentage, was the eighth lowest. Win shares, he was eighth. I mean, he was one of the best players in the WCC last year. Is the explanation as easy as what Gary says? It's just Collinsworth, he was able to play off Collinsworth? Is it that easy?
I think that's a huge portion of it. But I think what it's really highlighting there is it's a chemistry issue, right? And there's a reason that Mika did more than what anybody expected him to do this year. It's just the way the chemistry shook out. This is a young team, and we've made a lot out of the fact that some of these guys have been playing together for a long time, but it's been a while since they played with one another, and this is a whole nother level of competition. So, you know, I think what we've seen this year is this some of that chemistry just sorting itself out, and Collinsworth was a very important part of the chemistry before. And when you remove that and you inject all of this kind of new and unknown pieces to it, you're going to get some stuff that you weren't expecting. Unfortunately, in his case, you know, what we got was, you know, less production.
Well, in the end, it really comes down to an inability to hit three-pointers at the same rate he did last year. I think that's a big thing. And then he didn't hit his jump shots and drives at the same percentage as last year. I mean, it really comes down to the fact that by the end of the year, did you want the ball in his hand when we needed points?
No.
Right? I mean, it's nothing personal against him. I really like Nick Emery, and I think he bounces back next year. But I wanted it in Bryant, Childs, or Minka's hand, or if not, Haas. Right? And Haas had a very good freshman year, had some turnover issues. I mean, his rate of turnovers is terrible. But it just goes to show you that progression in college sports is not a straight lineup. There are peaks and valleys, there are plateaus, and he headed backwards. We can come up with a lot of different explanations, but in the end, he just wasn't as good as he was last year.
Yeah, and if you're in a program where you got a lot of guys who are one and done coming through and those types of things, then this type of a regression could be very alarming. But yes. I think because of who we are, because of the way this program works, and the fact that we're not full of one and done type of talent, you know, you don't go out and start, you know, ringing the death bells for Emery.
No, no.
I think we're going to be okay. I don't know. Maybe we won't be okay. But we're the future's not written in stone yet for this kid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not. I think he can get better. I think, you know, defensively he was about the same, I think, which was okay but not great. It was his offense that was the problem this year. And
yeah.
And hopefully he can right that ship. Hopefully, as I said earlier in the show, I really hope that Rose thinks about revamping some of the offense to reform it around the strengths of the guys he has on this roster. And really, I mean, I know Emery loves to take those transition three-pointers, and I don't mind them if he's open. I'm not a big fan of contested three-pointers early in the shot clock. I'm not. I just don't think it's a high-percentage shot, and unless you've got a guy like Jimmer who can hit that contested three at near 40%, I just don't think it's worth it when you've got Mika, Childs, and potentially Bryant. But Matt, next year, is he key to the success of that team, or do you think they can get back to the tournament with him still being a contributor and not a big player?
I think you have other players who can be the ones to step up and fill that void. It may be him, but if it's not him, I don't think you're cooked. I think you have enough other players on the roster who also could be the ones to step in and fill that void that he's not a must-have for success.
No, I think he will play he only averaged 11 points per game in the conference this year, by the way. Just think of how low that is for him.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, I agree with you. I think for us to reach like the level that you and I were talking about at the preseason to eventually get to an Elite Eight type of level, yes, I think he has to be there. But for us to just be a lot better than we were last year, if Bryant plays better, Haas improves, some of the young guys that are coming in play roles, the answer may, like you said, it may be no. You don't actually have him. But I think to be a great team, you probably do. He probably needs to be better than he was even as a freshman to get to there. Not necessarily yeah. more points, just more efficient. With his scoring. All right, Matt. Well, we've hit close to the end of the show. We're going to finish with one thing on football, and next week we're going to talk a ton about football, but this week we're not going to talk so much about it. Matt, the spring game will be televised for those of us who don't live close enough to go drive and see it on BYU TV.
This is one of the greatest things that's ever happened.
On the scale of zero to Detmer, how excited are you to be able to see the spring game on TV? See, I'm excited I can't even talk about it.
It's Detmer.
It's Detmer level, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen a spring game since I was in college.
I don't think I've seen one since I was in college either.
No, that's not true. I went down to see one because I still lived in Utah for a few years after college, but it's been a long time.
Because I graduated at the end of a year, so I might have gone that spring. But, I mean, the spring game, to watch the spring game,
yes.
That's awesome.
So you and I can
watch other teams' spring games on ESPN, the ones that get televised.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no reason not to. Right? I never got why they didn't. Once it became a thing to broadcast on BYU TV, the football games, it was like, I don't understand why not. Like, it's not like they're going to show much anyway, right? You're giving people tape, but it's not going to be usable tape. They didn't really run their offense last spring anyway.
Right, and we do it's not like a straight-up scrimmage, right? It's a little bit of a different format. And
yeah, so I just want to see it. So I'm excited. I do know that my wife is going to give me a funny look when I say I want to watch a scrimmage in a couple weeks. But
that's why you call it the spring game.
I will call it the spring game. She'll still give me a funny look about it.
Don't use the word scrimmage.
So anyway, Matt, that's been the podcast.
It's pretty good. Pretty good show tonight.
If you found us through, say, Deseret News or somewhere else and you haven't, go subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Rise and Shout on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Matt, anything else before we sign off?
No, you hit my most exciting thing, which is the BYU spring game being televised.
Oh my gosh, I'm so
I saw it on Instagram. I immediately screenshotted it. I texted you. I texted like six people.
I know.
Right away.
I texted people that I don't even care about BYU football.
I mentioned it to somebody who could care, who could not care any less.
Yes, yes. So did I at work, and they're like, "That's really nice, Adam."
You said you. That's right. It's really nice.
It's super nice. It's like Detmer exciting. I said.
You said on. Did you ask them on a scale of zero to Detmer how excited they were about it?
Yeah, yeah. They.
Did you see that person tomorrow? You should ask them.
They said Scott Mitchell excited, and then I punched them in the face.
Yeah.
Yes. Face. Too bad he's my boss. So that's
good. Yeah. That was a bad move. That was probably career limiting for
my
you.
My performance review is tomorrow, so that may not go as well.
Yeah, I bet it's going to be shorter than you have scheduled.
It might be. It might be. Well, anyway, thank you for downloading and listening. We will be back next week to talk about whatever happened in the NIT, but we'll be spending the bulk of next week's podcast talking about spring football, what we hope and expect to see in that spring game. Of course, engage with us on social media at BYU_RiceShout on Twitter. At facebook.com/RiceAndShout, you can like the page and always get the podcast delivered right into your Facebook feed. And you can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, thanks for being here, buddy. Thanks for not taking this week off. And BYU dog, we're not taking another one off for a while. So,
at least not until April, May, or June.
Anyway, thanks everybody, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
Can you hear me when I call your name? And when you